We had read to us a passage from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And it is the first few verses are in order to get the context of the scripture. But then the rest of it, the latter part of it, is referring to the Good Samaritan, what we call the Good Samaritan. And so you probably think I was going to give a lesson on the Good Samaritan this morning, but I'm not. So we have missed that opportunity, right? I want to be speaking this morning about missed opportunities. And the reason that we looked at that passage was because even though the focus was on who is my neighbor, and the lesson that Jesus is giving is on doing good works, we have a prime example there of two people who missed opportunities to do good. Two people that should have known better. Two people that could have done better, and yet they didn't. And I want to speak this morning about missed opportunities, and I want us to think about these things, because I'm going to make some applications at the end for us. Have you ever missed an opportunity? Maybe to be a positive influence in someone's life, whether it be a young child that you could be an influence on them, or maybe somebody who was hurting that you could help them in some way. Somebody who is in Satan's clutches, somebody who doesn't know about God or doesn't know correctly about God, somebody who really needs some help, an elderly person, whoever that may be. Have you missed an opportunity to do good to someone? Maybe to teach a lost soul about Jesus. You know, we miss opportunities every single week. I don't say every single day, because we might not. There might be a day or two that we don't miss opportunities. But I dare say, if you don't think that you've missed an opportunity, then I don't think you're examining yourself very well. God says, through Paul in Galatians chapter 6, he says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all people," or all men, "but especially those of the household of faith." And so we need to be looking for opportunities. Have you missed any opportunities in the past week? I want us to look at this. I know there's different reasons for us missing opportunities. Sometimes it's not our fault, but many times I dare say it is our fault. Many times it's because of something we have either done or didn't do, or something that we're doing when we shouldn't be doing. Were you too busy to take advantage of an opportunity? Were you doing something else that you should not have been doing? Or maybe something else that could have waited? Were you just too busy? Sometimes we're too busy doing things that we overlook something that has a higher priority. Maybe we're not paying attention. Maybe it's an opportunity that we didn't even recognize until afterward when you thought about it. Maybe when you're laying in bed, or maybe you're in some quiet time, you think, "Boy, you know what? I really missed an opportunity to say something or do something or ask something of someone. I missed an opportunity." Were you too tired? Sometimes you miss an opportunity just because you're so tired that you're not thinking about an opportunity. Or maybe you think about it and you say, I just can't do it. I do a lousy job doing it. You may be too tired. Maybe you're afraid of negative consequences. That's true of a lot of younger people, especially. Not older people too, but especially younger people. They're afraid that somebody may make fun of them, that somebody may criticize them, that somebody may be mean to them. And so they're afraid of the negative consequences, and so they miss opportunities that come to them, that come into their lives. Sometimes you just don't recognize an opportunity. You just don't think of it as an opportunity until later. You just, you don't recognize it as an opportunity. Maybe you never realized that it was an opportunity. A lot of times when we go through trials and tribulations, we don't recognize them as opportunities. When we do something that is wrong and we have to go through consequences, we don't recognize that as an opportunity to learn and to draw closer to God. We miss opportunities because we don't recognize them as opportunities. I want us to kind of get in that mindset of looking for opportunities, because God says that we will be judged according to what we did while in the flesh, whether good or bad. We need to be looking for not what we could, not what we thought we were going to do, not what we planned to do, but what we did. And if we miss opportunities, those are things that sometimes have eternal consequences. We'll look at some passages for that also. Mr. Anonymous, he does an awful lot of writing. In 1898, wrote that opportunity knocks but once. That's attributed in the Online Etymology Dictionary to 1898, first time it showed up. Opportunity knocks but once. Mr. Anonymous got busy after that, and he added some things to it. Opportunity may knock once, but temptation leans on the doorbell. Or opportunity may knock once, but temptation bangs on your door your whole lifetime. Anonymous wrote those also. The thing is that opportunities, often, once they're gone, they're gone. You don't have that same opportunity. You may have a similar opportunity. You may have an opportunity in a different area, but many, many times, opportunity gives you one chance. You have one chance at many different things. And you don't get that chance a second time. It's gone. Like I said, most of us miss opportunities many times a week, if not daily. I looked at the etymology of the word opportunity, and it comes from, of course, the root word opportune, which in turn comes from word ob, meaning to or toward, and portus, meaning a port or harbor. And literally, it comes from the idea of coming into port. Not necessarily a ship either. It's more like the wind coming to port. And the idea was that when you think about, you know, a ship coming, your ship has come in or something like that, you've gotten the opportunity, you've gotten a chance. But originally it meant the wind and then a ship coming to port. An opportunity, a chance. The definition is a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. It's some circumstances that you find yourself in or that you are availed to that you have the opportunity that, or the possibility to do something. The scripture uses the phrase a convenient season, a favorable occasion to decide to do something, whatever that may be. It's neither good nor bad in and of itself. Sometimes we take an opportunity to do evil. We shouldn't do that. But there are often opportunities to do good. And we should be looking for and striving. We want to look at three aspects of the opportunity so that we don't miss them. There's three parts that we'll notice today. The timing of opportunity. The desire that we need to have, and the ability that we might be able to do it, to fulfill it. And I want us to look at each one of these, remembering that they're really tied together. And so many times when the passages we'll look at, we'll have all three of these together, and there may be more. We're just going to look at these three this morning. The timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and especially verse 1, the latter part of it says, there is a time for everything or every purpose or every occasion under heaven. There's a time. God recognizes there are times. God created time. And timing is very important with regard to opportunities. I may be able to do something now and not have that the opportunity may be wasted. Or I may save it, I may do it later, repeat it later, and the opportunity wasn't wasted because the timing was right. We need to remember that timing is important with regard to opportunities. By the same token, we need to remember that timing is against us many times because something may require an action now and it's fleeting. Just wait a few moments and the timing is no longer correct. I heard the phrase, there is no second opportunity to make a good first impression. You know, the timing is just right. Oftentimes, you say, man, I started off on the wrong foot with that person or with that situation. We have to consider the timing. Sometimes, the timing isn't up to us. Sometimes, the timing it just isn't right. And I want to give us some examples. Seep oil. You know what seep oil is? Remember Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies? He was hunting for some food, and up through the ground came a bubbling crude. There was seep oil, and the pioneers, they avoided building their houses where there was seep oil because it was sticky, it was dirty, it was not something that people liked, and it was combustible, it was flammable, and people didn't want drag that into their house or seeping into their house, and then all of a sudden, boom, they didn't have a house anymore. Set on fire. And so people would avoid what they call seep oil. As a matter of fact, many of the Indian reservations were put where nobody wanted to build because of seep oil. Then all of a sudden there was a market for petroleum. Now, seep oil, which was avoided, was looked for. People started drilling and becoming millionaires. They marketed this oil, this petroleum. But for a long time, and a lot of Indian tribes became very rich, and other injustices happened. Many of them got kicked off after the oil was found. But anyway, the fact is that there was seep oil. There was oil near the surface, and it would seep into the ground, and people didn't like that. The timing wasn't right. You had all that oil, but nobody wanted that. There was no market for it. The timing wasn't right. And throughout history, this has been true. Hydroelectric power. Water was used basically for transportation, for cooling things also, until turbines were invented and then applied. And all these people that had all this water and the dams and the waterfalls and all these things, all of a sudden, they had all this power that they could use. But there wasn't any way to use that, to harness that. The timing wasn't right. Sand. You think about sand? Think about sand. All over the place. On beaches. I think, you know, sand has a prime component of silica. Or silicon, singular. And that is used in microchips, which are the brains of computers. And so we have all this available sand and silica, basically, is what we're talking about. And it's not used. And all of a sudden, there's a use for it. It has to be refined and do all sorts of stuff to it, but it's basically the brain for microchips, for computers. It has properties that are needed. But man has always had sand. Hasn't always had computers. It was there, but the timing wasn't right. And we could go on and on for other things. Wind and solar power. Atoms. Atomic power. We go on and on. Sometimes the time is just not right. It doesn't matter what you're looking for or how hard you're looking. The timing isn't right in history. But that's not the case all the time. The Bible talks about the opportunities that we have. And God talks about the time is now. When we're going to do something, we need to do it now. God is a God of the present. God is the great I Am, referring to His eternal presence, His being in the present right now. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul makes a reference to our timing when he says, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the light in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." The things that we do are now. Time for us to wake up. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to unbelievers. Talking to Christians, wake up, he says. Let's demonstrate our readiness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, and then again, the Hebrew writer quotes the same passage. We're going to look at it, how they're applied. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul says to the Corinthians, he quotes verses 1 and 2, says, "Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" Now, he says, now is the favorable time. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3 and starting in verse 13 and going through verse 15, says, "But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.'" Today, we're to encourage one another. And so whatever we do, whether we're talking about salvation, we're talking about our Christian lives, whether we're talking about encouraging one another, whatever we do, God says, do it today. Take the opportunity now. Now is the time that we're supposed to do it. God's timing for us is now. John chapter 4 and verses 35 and 36. Jesus, when the disciples had come from out of the town after he had talked with the Samaritan woman, notice what he says to them in verses 35 and 36. He says, "Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering from the and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. 2,000 years. Jesus said that about him. For 2,000 years, the fields have been ripe for harvest. There is no excuse for us not to be busy with the harvest. For 2,000 years, God's been telling us through His Word that we need to get busy, that the harvest is ready, that the reapers are needed. We need to pray for the reapers. He says some are already collecting their wages. That's how close to the end. You don't collect your wages until your work is done. He says some are already collecting their wages. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, Jesus says a similar thing. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. We see it says, And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Pray. God will not accept any more excuses. God will not accept excuses about, "Well, I didn't know that the timing was right. I didn't know that there was a harvest. I needed to be a reaper. I didn't know that I needed to be busy." God will not accept excuses for our missed opportunities. God's patience will end one day, and we will be judged. And so the timing has to be right. But there, once the timing is right, God takes care of the timing. We have to have a desire. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Paul says to them, to the Ephesians, a passage that oftentimes we Christians quote, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time," or redeeming the time, "because the days are evil." When you redeem the time, when you buy back the time, when you redeem something, you buy it back. You have given your time over to whatever pursuits you have, to the things of the world, to work, to pleasure. You buy it back, you take it back, and you use it correctly for the Lord. You give it to the Lord. You make an opportunity. You look for opportunities. You rearrange your schedule. If that's needed, you prioritize. Say, "I'm doing this," and that may be a good work. We may get a better work. We have to prioritize. We have to learn to do that. We need to redeem or make best use of the time. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Paul asks them, requests of them prayers. Notice what he says. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And notice what he says there. "Please pray for me." His desire. He expresses his desire. "I have a desire to do this, and I want you guys to pray for me." But pray for me what? "That a door may be open, that I may get an opportunity, that the timing will come correctly." Why? His ability that he may speak that which they need to hear. that he may speak clearly the mysteries. And notice verse 17, where he says, in verse 17, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Tell him that he needs to take that opportunity, that he needs that desire. Find the opportunity. Paul was telling them, I don't want to miss the opportunity. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Thomas Edison said, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. Too many of us miss it because of that. We miss opportunity after opportunity. We want it to come to us all wrapped up in pretty packaging when it isn't. There's a story of two shoe salesmen. One shoe salesman is sent to a foreign country. He's there about 2 weeks. And he wrote back a letter to his company, please bring me home. Nobody wears shoes over here. So another salesman was sent in his place. And in a couple of weeks, he sent a letter back to the company saying, please send all the shoes you can because nobody wears shoes here. You see, one of them didn't take the opportunity, didn't see the opportunity, didn't have a desire to take advantage of the opportunity that was presented to him. He didn't see it as an opportunity. He saw it as a problem. Where the second guy saw it as all sorts of opportunities. Nobody. In the exact same situation, nobody was wearing shoes. It's an attitude that we need to have. Well, we're not going to be looking for problems, but we're looking for opportunities. But the third thing that I want to talk about is the ability. That's something that we need to also cultivate within ourselves. You see, what happens is, I may have a desire, and there may be an opportunity. But if I have not gotten the ability, if I have not prepared, then oftentimes we miss that opportunity. We may give it the old college try, but we'll miss that opportunity. We can't stop, put life on pause, and say, let me go back and prepare for this. Paul, telling Timothy, writing to a young preacher, Timothy, tells him in 2 Timothy chapter, and really, we could read all of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, because they're all just full of good advice for him. But 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says to him, preach the word. And he says, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. He's telling them, this is what I want you to remember. He was an evangelist, a young evangelist. Preach the word. But he tells them, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready when you expect that when the situation to be prepared. Be ready. And also be prepared when you don't expect the opportunity to present itself. You be ready in season and out of season. I think we need to be prepared at all times. And I think the Bible teaches that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15... Paul tells Timothy, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Be prepared. Be prepared. Do your best to present yourself to God. In order to do that, you need to get prepared. You need to have the ability. And this isn't a question of how much ability or capacity you have. This is a question of, are you preparing yourself? for when that situation comes. You've lost some opportunities. Are you going to lose some more? What are you going to do when you stand before God and tell Him, well, I didn't do that, or that, or I didn't do that, or that, or that, or that, or that? Why? I had other things to do. I wasn't prepared. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Verse 16, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. Sanctify God in your heart. Always being prepared to give an answer. If you're not prepared, you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities. And if you haven't sanctified God in your heart, you're not prepared. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. We read that. Too many of us are busy making provisions for the flesh. Let's go back and read that again. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Too many of us miss opportunities because we're not doing what we should be doing, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Make no provision. If there's a warning, there's a reason. And God's warning Christians not to make provisions for the flesh. Too many of us say, well, you know what? I'm going to go into this situation because I'm going to prove how strong I am. God says, don't do that. Too many of us say, well, I should be doing this, but instead I'm doing this. God says, don't do that. Make no provisions for the flesh. I have a little poem that I came across. I offered a prayer to God. It says, I asked for blessings. God gave me opportunities. I asked for strength. I received difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom. I received problems to solve. I asked for prosperity. I was given occasions to work. I asked for courage. I saw dangers to overcome. I asked for patience. I was placed in situations where I had to wait. I asked for love, and I met troubled people to help. I received everything I needed to obtain everything I wanted. When we ask for opportunities, when we're looking for opportunities to serve God, often we want and we pray for the end result. We ask God for it. And God gives us the opportunity to grow spiritually. Too many times we don't want that. We're not interested in that. We're not interested in the refiner's fire. We're not interested in the potter's hands. We just want the nice things at the end without having to work for them. Look with me, if you will. Let's look at a few more things before we finish. John chapter 9. Jesus heals a man that was born blind. In verses 1 and 2, I want us to look at this because we have an opportunity to study with regard to opportunities. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? The question they're looking at is, whose fault is it? Jesus tells them in verse 3, you got the wrong question. You're considering the wrong aspect of it. In verse 3, Jesus answered, it is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. He said, it's the wrong observation. Look at this as an opportunity to do good. That the works of God may be manifested in him. Notice verse 4 though. What Jesus says immediately after that. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. You see, the opportunities are limited. Even for Jesus. He had limited opportunities. His ministry was 3.5 years. And it was rapidly coming to an end. He's on his way. He's in Jerusalem now. He's on his way to the cross. And he says, you need to understand. It's not who sinned or who didn't sin. That's not what you should be considering. That's fine. That's okay question. You can consider that later. Right now, what you need to consider is the fact that there's an opportunity here. And he takes that opportunity. And he makes that man whole. And guess what? It becomes an opportunity for so many other people. And not only for the blind man himself. He has to consider, notice verses 35 through 38. Verses 35 through 38 of chapter 9. Jesus heard what they had that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. It was an opportunity for that man to know Jesus Christ. It was an opportunity for him to worship God, to know the one true God and worship him. And he took that opportunity. He didn't miss it. It was also an opportunity for his parents in verses 18 through 23. And they punt, so to speak. They say, go ask him. And it was an opportunity for the apostles to learn a lesson. And it was an opportunity for other Jews that were round about. Notice verses 8 and 9. It says, and the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. And he kept on saying, I am the man. It was an opportunity. People noticed. People noticed. And one opportunity to go do good became many opportunities for many people. It was an opportunity for the Pharisees. Another opportunity that they blew. Another opportunity that they used for evil. But it was another opportunity for them. And it's an opportunity for us. For all of us who read this account. For everybody who's read it for the last 2,000 years. To glorify God. To teach people. Are you missing the opportunity? If Jesus had just walked on by, how many opportunities? You see, one opportunity often leads to more opportunities. Yeah, I had a boss in when I worked at Motorola, Dan Przybylski, or as one lady kept telling me, it's pronounced correctly, Przybylski, until I finally learned how to pronounce it correctly. He would often say, the reward for work well done is more work. The reward for using an opportunity, for taking advantage of an opportunity, is often more opportunities. I believe that is a scriptural concept. Jesus often talks about those who do well, God will entrust more to them. In the parable of the talents and in other places. And I think that is a biblical principle. That when you start taking it, a lot of times, brethren, consider this. And I know time is running out, but consider this. A lot of times, the reason that you don't have as many opportunities may be because you're not using the ones that God gives you. You may be missing them. You may be overlooking them. You may be pushing them aside. And we want more. Because it's a shame. Too many are waiting for that for the big break. They'll say, well, if I had $1 million, I would do this, 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 and this. Let me tell you something. If you had $1 million, you'd be doing with it the exact same thing that you're doing now with the $100 you have or the $10 that you have. Your personality wouldn't change. Things would come out, yeah. You'd have more opportunities. But you'd be the same person. You'd be doing the same thing. If you're wasting money now, you'd be wasting it then. If you're using it wisely now, you'll be using it wisely then. Forget about the $1 million and do with what you have now. It's the same answer. If I had 10 talents, you may not have 10 talents. You may have one talent. Well, use that to God's glory. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 45, Jesus talks about the judgment day. And he says, on that day, some will be judged faithful, and they'll go to their reward, eternal reward, and some will be judged unfaithful, and they'll go to everlasting punishment. And what was the basis for this? He says, you gave me a cup of water. You didn't give me a cup of water. You visited me in jail. You didn't visit me in jail. You did things. You took the opportunities. Big and small. You didn't take the opportunities. You missed them all. If you think that missing an opportunity is no big deal, God says you're wrong. God says you are wrong. When we see the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, it doesn't say the rich man was out there doing mean and nasty things to Lazarus. It just says that Lazarus was put there at his gate and he did not help him one bit. He missed an opportunity. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, we see this taught again in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. That's opportunity. As you see opportunity, what good does it do if you see somebody in need and you say, have a good day, be blessed, and you don't help them? He says it's no good. While we're waiting for that one something, which may never come, we're often ignoring daily needs all around us. Opportunities all around us. Children or neighbors that need to hear the message. Or school or work buddies. The Bible's full of examples of people who missed opportunities. People in Noah's day. Noah was building that ark for 100 years and preaching. People knew all about it and they didn't get on. Only 8 people were saved. Guess what happened after God closed the door and it started raining? The light went on inside their minds. He said, hey, perhaps we need to find something, some kind of shelter. Oh, wait. The door's closed. The opportunity is gone. All those people died. They missed the opportunity at salvation. Lot, the whole story of Lot. Lot missed an opportunity to witness to people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, it wouldn't have been easy. God says he's a righteous man. But he didn't let his righteousness be seen. And Lot's sons-in-law, he tells them, he says, we need to leave. They said, oh, he's just joking around. They missed salvation. They had the opportunity to go with him, and they didn't. They missed the opportunity for salvation. And then his wife, she got out, and she missed the opportunity for a new life. Missed opportunities. King Saul missed opportunity after opportunity. We could go into all sorts of things in King Saul. What about the other thief on the cross? We often talk about the thief on the cross, right? And how he confessed Christ and how he was... Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. What about the other thief? He saw the exact same things. He heard the conversation between Jesus and the one thief. He missed his opportunity. Don't you miss your opportunity. Let's get to the applications really quick. We have an upcoming gospel meeting. Are you going to miss the opportunities that it presents? Have you taken flyers to pass out? Or are you missing that opportunity? Have you personally invited people? Personally. Talking one-on-one. People that you know. Your neighbors that you talk to. That you talk to about all sorts of worldly things. That you joke around with. People at work, at school. Have you invited them? Have you verified your schedule? Checked your calendar, your appointment. Are things going to be getting in the way? Can I rearrange things? Or are you going to miss the opportunity to assemble? Are you planning on being here early? Are you going to miss the opportunity to talk to people, to fellow Christians, to visitors, to one another, to set a good example? You're going to miss that opportunity? Did you sign up to have the preacher over? Or are you going to miss that opportunity to talk with him about stuff? Spend some time at your home? Or are you going to miss that opportunity? Are you praying for God's blessings and that He might use us? Or are you going to miss that opportunity? And after the gospel meeting, are you going to miss the opportunity or are you planning on following up? God won't force you to do anything. But He will hold you accountable. Think of it like this. This congregation, it's composed of people like me. Well, each one of us should say that, not of Ray, but each one of us. It is composed of people like me. Now ask yourself, or tell yourself, it'll be friendly if I'm friendly. It'll work if I work. It'll be generous if I'm generous. It'll lead others to Christ if I lead them. It'll be a church of loyalty and love and faith and service if I'm filled with these things. Ask yourself, am I prepared to do these things? Am I prepared to take the opportunities that are presented to me to demonstrate these things? With God's help, let's take the opportunity to become all that we want the church to be. Let me get to the conclusion. Not all opportunities are good or best. Some of them are bad. We miss opportunities all the time. Every single one of us can do better at that. But we'll be judged by what we did with the opportunity that we were given. And we need to pray for opportunities as well as laborers. And we need to be ready in season, out of season. We need to have a desire and the ability to follow through. What about you? Are you a Christian this morning? If you're not a Christian, then you've missed the first opportunity. The most basic opportunity, that's coming to Christ. If you're not a Christian, you can make that right. God says you have to hear the word and believe it. It has to be a belief that causes an action in you, causes you to repent of your sins, and then confessing the name of Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remain faithful until the end and you receive the crown of life. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can make that right. Take the opportunity. Don't pass it up again. Maybe you're already a Christian. You've sinned. You want the brethren to pray for you. Maybe we can help you in some way. Or maybe you're going through trials and tribulations and you want us to pray for you for wisdom in dealing with your situation. Or for strength. Or for intervention. Whatever your situation, would you